The sermon title this morning, indeed, my sermon makes an assumption. It's how I sort of envision the story of Mary and Joseph being visited by the different angels. For me, it takes place at night. When you hear the text, it won't say at night, but, you know, my literary license, it took place at night. Partly because in the Joseph story, it was in a dream, and you dream at night when you're sleeping often. But in Mary's story, it doesn't really say that. But in my mind, both conversations are the stuff of dreams, so it should be the night. Reading from the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Listen again for God's Word. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. As those of you who were here last week know, and if you weren't, to catch you up, during Advent, we are telling stories, hearing some of the stories that are foundational to the Christmas story from the biblical text, but also I'll be sharing, Lisa will be sharing, we'll be sharing stories as we preach through Advent. And things like the Advent devotional guide have other people's stories. It's an invitation to think about the stories that give meaning to your life and to your Advent and Christmas experiences and in some ways reshape your Advent this year through those stories. I've got a stool, so I'll come down to my stool for story time. This story is not necessarily an Advent story or a Christmas story, but it sometimes took place during Advent. I had a friend that I met when I was growing up here in Denton. He was 7 or 8 years older than I was. I first met him when I was in elementary school, and he was a college student. He was in one of my father's summer productions over in the theater at North Texas, and I would follow my dad to work, and so I went and would hang out with all the students and help build sets and whatever, and I met him first then. A few years later, my first real job, when I got paid an hourly wage, about $3.15, I think, an hour, I worked for his father. He also worked for his father in another store his father owned, so we got to know each other a little bit better. And then when I got into high school, I actually worked for him in a store that he owned. We got to be pretty good friends. When I was in college, I was in his wedding, and then when Leslie and I got married, he returned the favor and was in our wedding. And one of the things that developed over the years is when I would come back to town, maybe on Christmas break or spring break or in the summer or later on when I was living somewhere else, maybe come in for the weekend or whatnot, I would go by and see him. And a pattern developed. I knew he and his wife stayed up late, so I would make them the last visit of the night. So I'd go do whatever I was going to do, and then I'd drive by their house, and if the light was on or, you know, if it should have been on, I would go up and I'd knock on the door until they answered the door, and they'd come wandering out and they'd go, "Oh, Richard, it's you again." And I'd go in and we'd sit and talk. It got to where if they knew I was going to be in town, they'd leave the porch light on knowing that I might wander by. I remember those visits because in the late hours of the night, in the early hours of the morning, when we were sitting there talking, it seemed like anything was possible. We would talk about the future, what was out there in my life, what was going on in their life, what might be happening in the months or years to come. And it was this magical time of anything was possible. I think about those visits. Every time I read the stories about Mary and Joseph and an angel visiting in the night. These stories we read this morning to begin Advent are stories about possibilities. As we begin looking to the coming of Christ, we are reminded that anything is possible. Imagine Mary's conversation with the angel. Mary, you're going to be pregnant. Huh? You're going to bear God's son. Really? I bet if we had talked to Mary just moments before the angel Gabriel arrived and said, give us your list of what will happen in the future in your life, getting pregnant and bearing God's son will be pretty far down on the list. Who am I kidding? It wouldn't even be on the list. Likewise with Joseph. He learns his girlfriend is pregnant. He considers the possibilities for the future, and he knows what to do, and it does not include hanging out with her. Until the angel arrives in a dream to share new possibilities. The angel saying, Joseph, God is in this. Stick around. Be a part of what is going to happen. It's going to be amazing. In those moments, the God whom the angel tells us nothing is impossible is revealed. We'll discover through these stories that a virgin can get pregnant and bear God's son. A Savior can be born in Bethlehem. A star can be followed to make life-altering discovery. Anything is possible when an angel visits in the night. As we ponder the God who comes in flesh, consider the possibilities of what God might be doing in our lives, in our world, in your life. What new possibility is God putting before you? Maybe Advent means this is the year that the broken relationship in which you find yourself is healed. A new relationship uncovered. Advent this year may mean your life that seems stuck is about to explode with possibilities. Advent this year may mean God is going to be at work in your challenging life situation or health situation in a way that introduces new possibilities for how you understand and live your life. Advent this year might reveal there is a way for people in our world to join together and work toward peace and justice, despite all the acrimony we see out there. The God who invites Mary and Joseph to consider new possibilities for how they can be part of what God is doing in the world, this God is also coming to you. Now, one of the things about my visits with my friend is that at one point he moved into a condo behind his parents' house. And that introduced some new rules to the night visits. First of all, if I parked in front, which is where I had to park, I had to be really quiet so as not to wake in his parents who still lived in that home. But secondly, under no circumstances could I ring their doorbell or knock on their door. Earlier in life, their older daughter had been killed in a car accident, and they had a late night knock on the door, and a police officer was there to tell them of her death. If you've ever answered the door with a police officer there late at night, you know how terrifying doorbells and knocks are late in the night. That's the thing about people showing up at night. It can be scary. Mary and Joseph understood that as well. The angel comes to each of them, and the possibilities they're invited to consider and be a part of are also scary. It sounds kind of exciting. Mary's going to bear God's child. Joseph's going to stand with her. And together they'll bring the Son of God into the world. And yet, how does the angel begin the conversation? Do not be afraid. To Zechariah last week, John the Baptist's father, what did the angel say? Do not be afraid. What do the angels from the heavens shout down to the shepherds in a story we'll tell later? Do not be afraid. Because dealing with a God who is alive and at work is scary. Those exciting possibilities mean a new way of life, mean changes, mean maybe giving up a little of that control of our future that we so desperately desire. When God joins with us, it's exciting. It's also a little bit scary. That's why Joseph is instructed to name the baby Emmanuel, God with us. Because even as God calls us, even as we look at the future full of fear, God is with us. Now here's the deal. The story told to Mary and Joseph, or the angel talking to Mary and Joseph, the story we tell, it makes a claim on them, but it also makes a claim on us. Meister Eckhart, a 13th century German mystic theologian, wrote this years ago. What good is it to me if the Son of God was born to Mary 1,400 years ago, if Christ is not born again in my time and in my culture? We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to His Son, if I do not also give birth to Him in my time and in my culture? This then is the fullness of time, when the Son of God is begotten in us. Mary hears the possibilities, overcomes her fears, and says, "Here I am." This Advent season invites you to discover the possibilities, to face the scary possibilities, and say, "Here I am." Amen.